right, I'd like to ask you to open up your Bibles to Proverbs 27, chapter number 27 this evening, in the book of Proverbs. Here we go. Proverbs chapter number 27, and we are continuing tonight with our series. It's been a few weeks since we were in this series with all the special things around Christmas and so forth. But the name of the series is Slothful or Successful. This is part of a longer running, a bigger series in the book of Proverbs called Themes in Proverbs. The book of Proverbs covers many different themes, but they're not just like one chapter about this particular topic and one chapter about this topic. They're all together in the book of Proverbs, and so what we're doing in this study is we're tracing these various themes throughout the book, and we've done a few of these already. We've had a series on the tongue, which is one of the major themes of Proverbs. We've had a series about God's will and how to know God's will. And now we're talking about this particular topic, contrasting two concepts that are frequently featured in the book of Proverbs. They're contrasted in the book of Proverbs, and those two concepts are laziness and diligence. And so that's where we're getting the title from, Slothful or Successful, because if you're lazy, if you're slothful, you're not going to be successful, okay? So generally, those that are lazy do not make much of themselves. Those who are diligent generally tend to be successful. So that's the idea of the title. And tonight, we want to get back into this study. We have already covered slothfulness, and right now, we are talking about diligence, the demonstration of diligence. And I had to break it in half last time. We have seven points in this part of the study. Let me just back that up. I'm getting too deep into my outline. We have two main points in this outline about diligence. First of all, we have the demonstration of diligence. That's what a diligent person looks like and how he behaves. And then we have the delights of diligence, okay? That's the blessings of living a diligent life. So if you have the handout, those are the two main points tonight. First of all, the demonstration of diligence. Secondly, the delights of diligence. Now, what we're going to do is get back into that first point, because that's what where we left off last time. Seven demonstrations of diligence described in the book of Proverbs. We talked about the first five last time. My goal tonight is to cover the last two and then also get into the delights of diligence. We'll see how things go for us as far as time. But just to review, this is what we covered last time. Five demonstrations of diligence. What does a diligent person look like? What are the characteristics, the lifestyle characteristics of a person who has this quality of diligence? First of all, this person is working hard to complete projects on time. Secondly, showing frugality and efficiency in managing resources, being very careful with how you manage resources, being a wise steward and making the most of what God puts in your hands. Number three is approaching duties with planning and foresight, taking the time to give thought in advance to a task and not just jumping in blindly. Number four is prioritizing business before personal pursuits, making sure that you're tending to your responsibilities before those things that you would find to be more personally pleasing or fun. And then number five, working instead of wasting time in idle conversation. It's great to have conversation, but there are times when it's not good to be conversing. And one of those times when you should not be talking is when you're supposed to be working. That sounds like an exhortation I've had with my classes over the years. As I've taught students, you should not be talking when you're supposed to be working. But that is one of the demonstrations of diligence, not talking when we're supposed to be working. So now let's go on this evening to demonstration number six, okay? This is the sixth demonstration of diligence in the life of a person that we see described in the book of Proverbs, and it is working hard without external coercion. A diligent person is working hard without external coercion. What is coercion? I used a big word there. That means without being made to by somebody else, okay? If you're being coerced, you're being forced to do something that otherwise you would not do. So a diligent person does not have to be forced to work. They can work without external coercion. Proverbs 16:26 says, "He that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him." That basically says people who work hard do so because they are internally motivated. And yes, you can make somebody work hard by cracking a whip over them. You can coerce somebody into working. If you do that, the chances are, as soon as you stop cracking the whip, what's going to happen? They're going to stop working, right? Because it's all coming to them from the outside. It's all imposed from without. They have no motivation from within. But people who work hard, people who labor all by themselves, not because somebody's making them, but because they are just doing it of themselves, they're doing that because they are aware of a need and they are motivated on the inside to work hard to meet that need. For example, this verse says that this person that's working realizes that if he doesn't work, he won't eat, right? His appetite urges him on. He knows that he's got to get the work done or he's going to go hungry. In other words, he is self-motivated. But please understand, we're not talking here about some kind of a sinful, selfish motivation. We're talking about being self-motivated to work hard. That's not a sinful motivation. That's not a self-centeredness, sinful self-centeredness. That is an appropriate personal motivation to get a job done because a person has a stake in the outcome, because that person has some skin in the game, if you will. And therefore, that person is willing to sacrifice some ease in the moment for the greater benefits that are going to come to him in the future from his hard work. What I'm saying is a diligent person is a self-starter who understands the concept of deferred gratification. Do you understand the concept of deferred gratification? The idea of deferred gratification is I am going to do without something now because I am working for something even better in the future. By the way, that's a principle of the Christian life, isn't it? Okay, because what do we do as believers right now? We live as strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Why do we do that? Because we're looking for a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. All right, so we're willing to die to self here in this life like the Lord Jesus tells us to because we know that if we lose our life on earth, we will gain it with Him. And that's the concept of deferred gratification. However, a worldly person has no concept of that. A worldly person is saying to himself or herself, you know what? I just want it all right now. I just want the best life right now. I just want to have fun right now in the moment. That's all I care about. I'll take my riches now. I'll take my pleasure now. I'll take my good times now. I want all that stuff now with no thought of eternity. That's not wisdom, okay? That's foolishness. But wisdom is to understand and to act upon the concept of deferred gratification. And that's what this diligent person does, okay? He's sacrificing in the moment for a better harvest later on. On the other hand, that slothful person is not a self-starter, okay? That's why they're slothful, okay? Because they're not internally motivated, but the diligent person has that internal drive to work. And so maybe you're sitting in the pew right there right now, and you're listening to what I'm saying, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, well, I guess I'm off the hook then because I just don't have that internal drive to work, you know. I guess God just didn't give that to me in my, you know, when I was born. I mean, I just don't seem to have that, so I guess I don't have to worry about this principle of diligence, right, Pastor? Wrong. You need to think again. If you're thinking that, God didn't give you an internal drive to work, so therefore you're off the hook, that's wrong thinking. The internal motivation to work diligently is a heart issue, folks. And, of course, there is foolishness bound in our hearts. That's part of sinful human nature, right? And this is part of that sinful human nature to have an aversion to work, to not be diligent, but rather to be self-pleasing and slothful. Internal motivation to work is a heart issue. And guess what? God is in the heart-changing business. And so if we will renew our minds in the Word, if we will allow ourselves to conform ourselves not to what the world says and does, but to our our thinking to be transformed by getting into the Scripture, learning to think like God thinks, if we'll humbly seek God's grace to change and to grow, then we can learn to be self-motivated in our work to the glory of God. So let me ask you a couple questions here by way of application, all right? First of all, are you mature enough, both in your character development and in your spiritual development, to be diligent, to work hard without need for external coercion? Does that describe you? Or are you one of those type of people that somebody else really needs to be cracking the whip over you to get you to do what you're supposed to do? Parents, are you teaching your kids to be self-motivated in their work? The ability to work without external coercion is a critically important life skill, but folks, it is also critically important for the kingdom of God. Because God is looking for faithful servants, and what is the definition of a faithful servant? A faithful servant is a servant of Jesus Christ who will work hard while the master's standing over him cracking a whip. Is that it? No. A faithful servant is a servant that will work hard while the master is away. Because he is away right now, isn't he? We read about that, for example, the parable of the talents, that parable of this age when the Lord Jesus gave work, responsibility to his servants, and he went away into a far country, and he said, I'm coming back. And he said, you occupy, you stay busy until I come. In other words, he was saying to his servants, be self-motivated and be diligent about the business that I have given you to do until I return. So the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for diligent workers in his kingdom. He is looking for servants who will be faithful, and faithful means self-motivated. It means internally motivated to work hard for Jesus Christ, not because you have to do it, but because you want to do it. The Lord Jesus Christ also encourages his servants with the promise of personal rewards. I mean, you think about that for a moment, that the Lord Jesus Christ allows us to have skin in the game, so to speak, when it comes to his kingdom work. Now, does he have to do that? Does he have to reward us for doing the things that he has asked us to do? Well, absolutely not. In fact, we know we should never get a big head about what we're doing for Christ, because the Lord Jesus told his disciples, you know, you're kind of like those servants. They go out in the field, they work hard all day, and they come in, and what does the master do? Does he say, sit down and let me serve you? No, he says, you serve me for my supper, and when I have eaten, then you can eat. And so the Lord Jesus reminded his disciples, no matter how much you do, you're always unprofitable servants. Folks, no matter what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, we never begin to approach repaying him for what he has done for us. So the Lord Jesus does not have to reward us for serving him. He does not have to give us blessings and eternal treasures in heaven and crowns and all kinds of wonderful rewards for serving him faithfully. He chooses to do that, and he sets that in front of us, and he gives us a motivation. He says, listen, there are some rewards to be won. There are some crowns to be won. And so be diligent about the work that I've given you to do. 2 Timothy 2:6 says, The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. The fruits there, this is talking, by the way, about serving Jesus Christ. It's in this passage where Paul's saying to Timothy, you're like a soldier and you need to endure hardness, and he uses different analogies to compare to what it means to be a servant of Jesus Christ. It's like being a soldier. It's like being a husbandman or a farmer. And he says, serving Christ is like being a husbandman. You go out in the field and you labor in the field, and the Lord has said that the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. That's another one of these passages where the Lord Jesus says, listen, there are rewards for serving me. These fruits here are talking about the many personal benefits that come to us from working hard in the gospel. For example, it means that you get to be there personally enjoying the fruit of your labor in the Lord. You get to be there, right there when souls are saved. You get to be right there and in on things when victories are being won. There's nothing better than that. God has also determined that those who labor full-time in the gospel should have their needs, their material needs provided for through the work of the ministry. We understand that. Several passages such as 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. That passage encourages elders to work hard in the ministry of the word. All right, so elders are supposed to have that encouragement that, you know, listen, you labor, you work hard in the ministry of the word, your needs will be taken care of. But this passage also exhorts congregations to reward those that labor in the word and doctrine with double honor, and that is talking about actually financial remuneration, okay? And so it is amazing that God allows us, people like us, to serve Him. But it's even more amazing that He rewards His servants in so many different ways, and ultimately He's going to reward His servants at the judgment seat of Christ. But we need to be diligent. We need to be self-starters. We need to be self-motivated. And we need to be strong finishers if we want to win the heavenly crown. So part of being a diligent person and a diligent believer is working hard without need for external coercion. Let's go to number 7. Number 7 is tending to tasks without procrastination and presumption. Tending to tasks without procrastination and presumption. Don't you just love those two words, procrastination and presumption? Those are two bad words. Procrastination and presumption are two great enemies of a diligent lifestyle. And folks, both procrastination and presumption are rooted in our sinful flesh. The motto of the procrastinator is, why do today what you can do tomorrow? Some of you probably said that to yourself on more than one occasion. Why do today what you can do tomorrow? The presumptive person says, hey, everything will be just fine if I procrastinate. No harm done, no big deal. All right, somebody who is presumptive assumes that there will be no significant costs to being slothful in the moment. He assumes that he can make up for it later on, which might be true, but then again, it might not be true. That's the presumption, okay? That's the assumption that is a foolish assumption to make. Folks, procrastination and presumption are two strongholds in the mind that are not captive to Jesus Christ. They are contrary to the word of Jesus Christ. And so this passage here that we're going to look at now in Proverbs 27 warns us against these two strongholds of the flesh, and it encourages us to take diligent actions on the basis of right thinking. So let's read this right thinking in Proverbs chapter 27, an extended passage about diligence. We're going to read from verse 23 to verse 27, and I have 4 points for you out of this passage. Let's read the whole thing to get the whole flow of the thought. Verse 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. All right, 4 thoughts that I want to bring out from that passage here for you tonight. And the first one is that a diligent person evaluates and tends to his responsibilities on a daily basis. A diligent person evaluates and tends to his responsibilities on a daily basis. Look back at verse 23. Look at it again. It says, be thou diligent. There's our key word. be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. If you go on later in the passage, you'll see that you're milking the flocks and the herds. And so animals that you are milking require daily attention. Okay, so the idea of verse number 23 is maintain the care of your animals, your flocks and herds, on a daily basis. Be diligent to know their condition at all times, every day. That's what verse 23 is saying. Make sure you tend your responsibilities on a daily basis. Now, verse 24 says that it is presumption to think that that prosperity will persist without persistence. A lot of P's in that sentence. Let me say it again. It is presumption to think that prosperity will persist without persistence. Look again at verse 24. It says, "For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation." In other words, you might be able to coast on your reserves for a while, but if you become slothful, if you're not out there diligently tending to your flocks and herds on a daily basis, eventually that neglect is going to catch up with you. So don't presume that you will continue to prosper if you are not maintaining your efforts and if you are not maintaining your economy. And so he talks here about from the perspective almost of like a king, okay? The crown enduring to every generation. Don't be presumptive that just because you're in power today and you have plenty today and you're prospering today, don't just presume that that is going to carry on indefinitely into the future, especially if you're not being diligent on a daily basis to tend to your responsibilities, as we just read in verse number 23. Now, verses 25 and 26 tell us that God does His part to provide for us, and He does. He is faithful to provide for us. But you know what? We also have to do our part to make the most of the provision that He gives us. Look again at verses 25 and 26. It says, "The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountain are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field." All right, so how is it that the tender grass shows itself and the hay appears? Who makes that happen? Well, God does. He's the one that makes the grass grow. He's the one that makes the crops grow. Not only that, He has created sheep and goats, animals like that, to meet the needs of people. He says that the lambs are for your clothing. God has designed those animals with an amazing clothing of their own called wool, okay? But we can make it into clothing for ourselves. It's a God provision, His provision for people to be clothed. He says the lambs are for your clothing. And the goats are the price of the field. God also causes our crops and our herds to multiply and to prosper. But you know what? We have to do our part. We have to then go out and gather the herbs. We have to go out and tend to the flocks. We have to go out there and take care of what He has given to us. And folks, God is not going to do that part for us. So there's a part that God does for us. He provides, yes, but He also expects us to do our part. And our part, if I could just sum it up very simply, is to be diligent to work hard every day. Work hard every day. Now let's look at that last part, and I apologize that I left this point off of the note sheet. Somehow it got cut off, and I didn't realize that until after they'd been printed. But the last point is hard work in the present ensures provision for the future. Let's look again at verse 27. "And if you're being diligent, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, to go out there and tend to the lambs and the goats and all of that, gather the herbs," he says, "and then thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens." So if you'll work hard, then you will be provided for. You'll have enough, not just for today, but for tomorrow as well. All right, so this is wisdom from God's Word about a way that we should be thinking, okay? A kind of thinking that is wise. And that wise thinking gets rid of procrastination and presumption and instead grabs hold of daily, diligence. That's what we need to do. And you know what? You might not be earning your living from animal husbandry. So maybe that's not the direct application for you, but what are your flocks and herds? You've got some area. I'm saying, what is your area of responsibility? What is it that you are supposed to be diligent to tend to on a daily basis? Are you tending your quote-unquote flocks and herds? Are you tending that area of responsibility like you should be without procrastination and presumption? There's probably not a single person in this room who could say, honestly, Pastor, you know what? I just want you to know tonight, I have achieved total victory over procrastination and presumption. And that would be nice to be able to say that, right? I certainly could not say that. But folks, we do need to recognize them for strongholds. The strongholds that they are contrary to Christ. We need to tear them down. We need to kick procrastination and presumption to the curb if we want to make the most of our stewardship on earth. Because we're supposed to be redeeming the time. If you're redeeming the time, you're not procrastinating. And you're not being presumptive that if I waste today, that I can make up for it tomorrow. You know, sometimes we joke about being procrastinators. Some people even brag and boast about being procrastinators. But you know what? It's not really very funny when you think about it. We need to grab hold of the fact that procrastination is slothfulness and it's a sin. Presumption is pride and it's also a sin. Now, I was going to go on and I was going to move into the second point tonight, but I've decided I'm not going to do that. I'm going to save that for next time. So let's just review here. These are the seven demonstrations of diligence that we see in the book of Proverbs. The last two that I talked about tonight, working hard without external coercion and tending to tasks without procrastination and presumption. And if I could just make a brief application here at the close, you know, this is the start of the new year. And I've been challenging us as a church family to continue in God's Word, to continue in the faith. I presented a threefold challenge this morning on that basis, to continue in daily time in the Word, to continue in fervent prayers, to continue faithfully and frequently in church. And again, I'm going to suggest to you that these two things that we talked about here at the end tonight, procrastination and presumption, those two strongholds are enemies of us continuing in the faith like we're supposed to be doing. Because if we're thinking in terms of procrastination, we're thinking, oh yeah, I need to do that. I need to start reading my Bible. But I can wait a while. I don't really need to start like tomorrow, do I? I mean, it wouldn't really hurt to wait till next week. That's presumption, isn't it? I mean, I know that I need to ramp up my prayer life, but I mean, that would be a good thing to do. I mean, I probably should do that sometime this year. Procrastination, presumption kicking in. So as we are at this time in 2018, and we're trying to get this year off to a good start, and we're trying to be focused in the direction that we are headed spiritually, I want to challenge you tonight. Allow the Lord Jesus to show you in your life where procrastination or presumption may be holding you back, and tear down those strongholds so that you can move forward for the Lord Jesus in your discipleship this year. Let's bow our heads, and I'm going to ask the pianist to come, and we're going to have a little time of invitation here in just a moment. The song is number 500, All for Jesus.